I wasn't as fortunate as some of you who got to spend more time with Komodaki and serve together with her and benefit from her association. I just remember, well, I moved into the temple in Boston, and I never came to the West Coast until much later. I was in India, and by the time I came to see Komodaki, I think Srila Prabhupada had already left. But I remember her at her typewriter and being struck by how diligent she was in her service, how dedicated. And I know how important a good secretary can be, and I could see she was really a good secretary, and I could see that she was a tremendous asset to the temple and the BBT. Then I didn't see her for many years, and then due to circumstances in my own life, I ended up moving to California, ending up in California, and I met her again because I would go to Anthony and Koshalya's house, and she was part of that circle of friends, and I recognized her. And yeah, she was very sweet, like everyone says, just very sweet. And she struck me as being quite sober. I mean, Prabhupada used that term to mean not inebriated by material existence. And but then things sort of changed when she learned that she had cancer, when I visited her at the hospital. And then things really changed when she was well enough to be discharged from the hospital. And Hannah had a brilliant insight that she was going to need someone to look after her. And Hannah had an idea of someone who was staying in our little community of devotees who could help her. So I asked the devotee, and the devotee agreed, and she stayed with Komodaki for about a month after she got out of the hospital, and you know, cooked for her and drove and did the shopping and just took care of her. And after that, you know, you really get close to someone when you serve them. So then we would start to communicate. I mean, I'd speak with her on the phone, and she wrote a long, long letter. And it was really from her letter, and just her demeanor, but from her letter that I could see how dedicated she was to Srila Prabhupada, how loyal she was to Srila Prabhupada. She was just expressing her thoughts about the movement, because Prabhupada put so much of his life into the movement, so anyone who cares for Prabhupada is obviously going to care for the movement. And she basically just expressed her views. She was not offensive, but she was independently thoughtful. And I agreed with pretty much everything that she wrote. And then, you know, there was always little, you know, controversies, and she had her views, and I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with them. And I like that spirit, and I happen to tend to agree with what she agreed with and disagree with what she disagreed with, so that made it even better. So then, you know, she was doing well, but again, I guess the cancer came back, and she thought she wanted to go to Vrindavan, which was an excellent move, and she went to Vrindavan, and I was hearing these amazing reports about all the places she was going in Vrindavan. From what I heard, if I was there, I wouldn't have been able to keep up with her. She was just like a mad woman, just going on pilgrimage and seeing deities and visiting holy places, and it's just like amazing reports. And I thought she might just stay indefinitely, but for her own reasons or maybe circumstances, she came back. And then, you know, of course, she ended up going to Vancouver and realizing that the end was approaching, and went into a hospice there. And I would phone her almost once a week. I would phone her and speak with her. And part of our relationship was based on a common friend of ours who lives around the corner from me, named Rose Forecash. Rose Forecash is the mother of Leela Shakti, who joined in the early 70s. And then Rose and her husband Sam followed to just see what was happening here. And they got into Krishna consciousness. And Rose was just like so attached to Komadaki. And when she had her cancer and it seemed like she would need some financial help, Rose just on her own, and Rose is 88 now, so she doesn't have a computer or anything, but she spoke to people and found out about the internet and websites, and she actually put a notice on the internet asking devotees to give financial support for Komadaki, and people gave. And Rose, like, she was the first to offer her bit. And so Rose really wanted to come here to speak in person, but she was unable to. So she wrote a very short note for me to read, which I will do now. You'll have to imagine that this is Rose sitting here. My name is Rose Forecash. My husband Sam and I came to this temple in 1971, soon after my daughter Leela Shakti joined. My husband and I spent every weekend doing some service. Being here so much, I saw how few devotee parents visited. I spoke with Rameshwar about this, and we agreed that sending a newsletter to the devotees' parents would be a good idea. That's when the Friends of Lord Krishna newsletter was born. That's how that phrase folk, Friends of Lord Krishna, came from then. Even though Komadaki had her own work to do, she was always, underlined, there to help. As the years went by, we kept in close touch with visits and phone calls. Just a few days before she left her body, she said to me, you and I will meet again one day and hold hands. And that's the end of the message. Rose really emphasized to me orally how helpful Komodaki was to her. She said she didn't want to write more in her message because she didn't want it to seem like she was talking about more about her own service with Friends of Lord Krishna and the devotee's parents, but she said that Komodaki really helped her and that she wouldn't have been able to do her work without Komodaki's help. Then I guess the last part of the story for now is, you know, I was from time to time phoning Komodaki, and one afternoon I thought I have to phone Komodaki. I haven't phoned her. I have to phone Komodaki. I phoned, and Kriya Shakti answered, and it was the first time she answered. Every other time, Komodaki herself had answered. And Kriya Shakti said that Komodaki has just left her body 5 minutes ago. And then she said, "You're the Brahmin who entered the room. You're the Brahmin who entered the room." Because there's a tradition that if a Brahmin enters a room after a person leaves his or her body, it's an auspicious sign. And then Kriya Shakti just came out with this incredible flow of nectar of her experiences with Komodaki in the last weeks. And it's really it's a very difficult service to take care of a dying person. It's also an extraordinarily rewarding service. And I felt blessed that I could be in the room at that moment and hear so much nectar from the heart of Kriya Shakti. And I hope she'll share with you everything she shared with me and more. Because it really just showed how powerful Srila Prabhupada's mercy is, you know. Anyone who serves Srila Prabhupada, Rukmini Dwarkadish, their service never goes in vain. And because she was so loyal and so offenseless, she really surrendered fully at the end, and Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada took full charge of her. The only thing I would add from my end is, sitting in my room, you know, with the telephone in my hand, I suddenly felt this tremendous calm and peace. It was amazing, and I was hearing the birds chirping. I don't know if they always chirp, but I don't hear them, or whether they suddenly started chirping to celebrate that auspicious departure. But it was it was like being in Vrindavan. I just felt this extreme peace and calm, and the birds were chirping, and like everything was all right. Everything was all right. And I'm sure it is, and I'm sure it will be for anyone who is close to her, or for anyone who's done any service to Srila Prabhupada and Rukmini Dwarkadish. So, thank you very much.